Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer, a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity. Hey, before we get started, I just want to tell you about a cool little project I've been doing, and it is video prompts. These are sometimes creative thinking prompts. They're maker prompts that you can use in maker challenges, and they're writing prompts as well to inspire creative writing. And you can check them out on a YouTube channel. The YouTube channel is videoprompts.com. Again, that is videoprompts.com. If you enjoy those, would you check them out? Would you share them, like them, subscribe to the channel? And then along the way, that kind of rises to the top on YouTube and people can find them. So anyway, just thought I would tell you about that before we get started on this podcast. Last year, my friend Trevor Muir posted this video and it went crazy viral, like millions of views, because it resonated with so many different people. It was this idea that teachers are tired and that there's nothing wrong with being tired, that as educators, we pour our hearts and souls into our jobs. And for that reason, at the end of the year, you're exhausted. And there were so many teachers who shared the video, who liked the video, who commented on the video, because it struck a nerve. I don't think people outside of education know just how hard teachers work. And even if you're a phenomenal teacher, there are things that kind of wear you down. The pressure of the standardized tests, the fear of what would happen if the kids don't learn the right things, but also the little things, the constant redirects that have to go on, the self-critical aspect of constantly analyzing your own lessons and trying to improve and take things to the next level. And for that reason, at the end of the year, you're tired. And so I really connected with this sentiment. As a current college professor, I am nowhere near as exhausted as I was during my 12 years teaching middle school. Don't get me wrong, I loved my job, but I also felt the effects of those, you know, constant redirections, the overwhelming sense of being on all the time, the breakneck pace of the daily classroom life, the 22 minutes that you get for lunch, losing prep periods. You probably know all about what I'm describing, right? And I remember feeling in mid-May, around the time that I would leave for summer break in Phoenix. We had a really early summer break and we would come back the first week of August as well. But I just remember feeling like I had nothing left to give. Now, I wasn't burnt out. I wasn't disillusioned, but I was tired. I guess the best thing to compare it to is even when you finish a marathon and you get that medal and you're crazy proud of what you've accomplished, you still just want to collapse. And I remember that I sometimes would have years where the day after I was done teaching, I would sleep in until 10 a.m. the next morning and I would just binge watch a TV show and I would just, I had nothing left to give and I was exhausted. And some of you can relate to that. I mention this because sometimes I see this narrative, especially on social media, that the so-called good teachers are the ones who spend their summers in professional development and in committee meetings and planning out lessons. And I've seen this in the Twitter sphere especially. And it's easy as teachers to get sucked into that martyr syndrome, believing that you should selflessly give everything you have because that's what kids deserve. But martyrs aren't anything good for kids. Students need teachers who are energetic and patient. And this requires rest. Your students need teachers who are passionate about the content they are teaching, which is why it's kind of cool when teachers spend part of their summer geeking out on history or math or science. If we want kids to fall in love with reading, it helps to have teachers who spent a part of their summer lost in their own fictional worlds or playing around with ideas they read in a Malcolm Gladwell book or binge listening to the Revisionist History podcast, which is what I've been doing. teaching is an exhausting gig. It's okay to take a break in the summer. Read a book, watch a movie, go hiking, swim, binge watch Stranger Things, kick the soccer ball around with your daughter, go hiking. You've poured your heart and your soul into this gig. And you shouldn't feel guilty for resting. It's what your students need from you. In fact, there's a ton of interesting research in that book, Rest, that I mentioned, that suggests that we are actually more productive and more creative when we spend more time resting. For example, the professors who have the highest amount of published research aren't the ones who spend 30 hours a week researching. That's what a lot of people would have assumed. It was actually the group that spent 6 to 10 hours a week on their research. It's a fascinating study. Working more doesn't necessarily make you more productive. And it's because we need rest. There's an interesting article by Thomas Opong where he says this. According to research, the brain gradually stops registering a sight, sound, or feeling if that stimulus remains constant over time. You lose your focus and your performance. When faced with a long creative problem, it is best to impose brief breaks on yourself. Brief mental breaks will actually help you stay focused on your task and improve your idea generation approach. A structured downtime can help you do your best work. We tend to generate redundant ideas when we don't take regular breaks. If you're hesitant to break away because you feel that you're on a roll, be mindful that it might be a false impression. Your brain needs downtime to remain industrious and generate better ideas. I love that sentiment. The bottom line is this: we need rest. Quick side note I want to point out here. I realize that teachers are often underpaid. I realize that a lot of teachers don't get rest because they have to teach summer school, or they're taking that extra stipend in the summer for curriculum planning because they're underpaid. A lot of teachers work jobs in construction and all kinds of other second or third jobs. And that really, really sucks. I just want to say clearly and boldly, and I don't really care what people think here, teachers are totally underpaid. And we need to fight to improve teacher pay across the board. We need to fully fund education so that teachers get a living wage, period. Because this rest is actually incredibly vital and necessary. So I do realize that as I mentioned this, there are some of you, if you're an educator working a second or third job, who might look at this and go, yeah, this is nice. I wish I could do this, but I can't. And so if that's you, I just want to really affirm what you're doing. And I just want to point out that I feel for you. I understand how tough it is to be underpaid. And I will always advocate for better pay. And sometimes that actually involves a little bit of political advocacy. That involves changing laws and fully funding education. So I just want to point that piece out right there. Now, with that in mind, I want to share some thoughts on how teachers can own their summer break. There's nothing wrong with spending a part of your summer in lesson planning. I used to have love just having this dream space of conjuring up epic projects for the school year. I remember enjoying reading up on educational books, especially early on in my career. And I think I read and reread every single thing that Rick Wormley, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, but I would read everything that he wrote because I was a huge fan of his work. But the key idea here is that the summertime is your time. This is a chance for you to own your own learning, for you to feel restored, for you to get rest. And if that involves lesson planning, and if that involves dreaming up projects, if that involves reading educational books, if that involves going to a conference and connecting with fellow educators, if that's your jam, then absolutely embrace that. Because it's yours. You own this time. And that's the beauty of it. It's almost a mini sabbatical that every single teacher needs every single year. So here are a few ideas of how you can spend your summer in a way that totally embraces this idea of teacher ownership. Number one, slow down and take care of your physical health. Take a part of your summer to slow down and find a new rhythm. Sleep in if that's your jam, go on a vacation, get back into the habit of hiking or running or doing yoga, just probably not at the same time. It's easy as an educator to give so much of yourself that you're not taking care of your basic needs. And the summer can be a time when you hit the reset button and you take the time that you need to actually just take care of yourself. My brother-in-law is this amazing, selfless PE teacher. He spends a good part of the school year, you know, helping out and doing extra and going, you know, the extra mile. And he volunteers for an inner city organization. I mean, he's always giving of himself. But he spends a good part of the summer finding restoration in nature. He goes hiking for days on end. He takes time to be alone. And for him, there's almost this spiritual element of recommuning with nature that's powerful. For what it's worth, that is not my way of resting. I'm happy to go hiking. I love it. Love going hiking. But you put me in, sleeping on the ground when it's cold, and that is not rest. That's punishment. So you will never see me loving going camping overnight. All right, number two is make something epic. Often we experience shame around creativity. I've met so many teachers who say, I'm not a creative type, or I'm not an artist. But one of the things we talked about in the last podcast is that every teacher is a creative type. And whether you realize it or not, you sometimes carry this shame around you when you teach. For this reason, a couple years ago, I issued this Go Make Something challenge for the summertime. And the idea was this: spend a part of your summer making something epic. And what makes it epic is just that you're stretching yourself. Not that the product itself is somehow amazing. It's just that what you created really stretched your creative process, that you learned something new along the way. And here's the caveat to it. When I say make something epic, it can't be for the classroom. It can't be a unit plan or a project resource. Learn something totally different, a new craft. Learn to draw, learn to dance, learn to play guitar, learn to code, learn to crochet, learn a new language. Learn to speak in front of a group and conquer your fear. Learn how to build a deck or install Shiplap. I'm not entirely sure what Shiplap is, but I've watched enough of HGTV to kind of understand it. Visit a makerspace and build something ridiculous and weird. And call it your own extended summer-long genius hour. Call it your defiant screw you to shame. But in the process, you get a chance to experiment the emotional highs and lows of creativity that your students will experience as well. And as a result, you become more empathetic toward them. Number three, use your time to just dream. So if the last part was about making something for that's outside of the classroom, this is your time to create something for your classroom. I used to spend a part of the summer jotting down ideas for lessons and projects. There were times when I would think, you know, I should be resting instead of doing this. I would actually feel guilty about thinking too much about teaching. But I realized that this was my playground. This was my sandbox, minus the, you know, cats, of course, where I could just play around with ideas and push the boundaries in what I wanted to do with students. It never felt like work because I wasn't analyzing standards or deconstructing objectives. I wasn't thinking about passing the test. This was my dream space. And often these ideas would become the basis for the projects we would do in our classroom. Number four, pursue your own professional learning. Although it's totally fine to spend the summer on a vacation, it's also totally cool to just spend your time working on your own personal professional development. As a classroom teacher, I used to focus on one idea or one book or one conference. And sometimes I would choose, you know, one topic, and I would choose a conference idea and book that fit into those. I would just geek out over one area where I wanted to refine my craft. And this personal professional development became the basis of what I would work on over the summer. I love the fact that at my current job, we have a partnership with the Oregon Writing Project. And I love to see these teachers come in and just learn more about the writing process by doing. I remember back in Arizona, we would have this camp plug and play where people would go in for a full week and learn one topic in depth. And I loved it. I remember a time when I had to, as it was actually a required district thing, had to learn about language acquisition strategies and ELL strategies. And for the first time ever in these 2 weeks of trainings that I would go to, I truly learned how to support my students. And although I came in with a little bit of a bitter attitude and I wasn't happy about it, the truth is I learned so much along the way. And we had phenomenal facilitators who helped make it something where I wanted to be there rather than, you know, something where I had to be there. I want to point out one final idea. These are just ideas. Some of these ideas might seem exhausting to you, and others might lead to a sense of renewal. The cool part is that this is your summer, and you can do with it whatever you want. You will have people who mock teachers for having the summers off, and you'll feel like you have to defend yourself. You will run into people who are experts who want to tell you what good teachers do and what that looks like. But remember that this is your time. So take it to find rest and renewal and restoration. It's yours. And when you are rested and restored and energetic and passionate, you will bring with you that restoration and passion and interest into the classroom, because a well-rested, fully restored teacher is exactly what your students need. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day, and go out and make something awesome.